Yud Beis Iyar, Monday the 16th of May, Rabbi Rashi Simon, in Phaser Ashrei.
Good morning to everyone. Our subject this morning, as you've just heard, is in praise of Ashrei. I hope that we'll be able to associate the subject with the Parsha as well. The Parsha that we read this week, Parsha's Bechukosai, begins with what word?
Im.
If you walk in my statutes. Rabbeinu Bachai observes something interesting. The brachos that the parsha with which the parsha begins start with the letter Aleph and continue until which letter? I mean, I've already set you up for it. Tough. What's the last word in the brachos? Komamius. Well, Leich Eschem Komamius. From Aleph to Tough. And the interesting thing is, he goes on to say that the klalos begin with what letter? Since you're doing so well. Vav, yeah. V'im. And what do they end with?
Hey.
That's right. V'ad Moshe. Have you heard this already? Okay. This is just by way of introduction, gentlemen. But it is relevant to our subject because of the principle that is hinted to here that the letters of the Aleph base that continue from Aleph to Tav imply that the bracha is all-encompassing, imply that the bracha is intended to span the entire gamut of human needs. But of course, as is very well known, there's an irony here that the brachos which are described are all physical, are all terrestrial, are all blessings that relate to Olam Hazeh. And the Or HaChaim famously asked the question, why is it that the Torah does not mention Gemul B'Olam Haba? Why is there no indication, there's no reference here to the blessings and the benefit and the reward that awaits a person after 120 years? And he has, I think, about 30 answers to this question. I'm not going to go through them, that's the good news. But what I want to just observe is that the Aleph Beis is associated with Olam Hazeh. As the Gemara famously says, "Istakel ba'oraisa uvara alma," that Kadosh Baruch Hu gazed into the Torah, and the Torah is a blueprint for creation, as we like to say in the outreach trade. We have also the famous statement that Yodeh hayav et salel letzaref behem osios letzaref osios shebehem nivru shemaim aretz. That Betzalel, the architect and the master craftsman who oversaw the construction of the Mishkan, had the gift, had the knack, had the ability to arrange the letters with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the word. In other words, the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the Aleph Beis, are regarded as the building blocks of creation, to the point that someone who knows how to manipulate those letters can in some way understand or appreciate the world itself. So what we see here is that the letters of the alphabet allude to the construction of the world and the orderliness of the world, the natural order which proceeds according to an exquisite perfection, an exquisite equilibrium, which, to be honest, only a scientist or a naturalist can fully appreciate. Although I will say that if you ever go on safari, as I took a group on safari some years ago, and for me it was, besides very enjoyable, it was an amazing insight into the majesty and the grandeur of creation. It gave me a kind of encounter with the hand of God, which I hadn't come across in my time in London, and even Havdil in Yerushalayim, and even in the spiritual experiences, it opened up for me a new vista. And the reason I mention that is that one sees the orderliness, the interrelationship within nature. One sees the amazing, as I said, the equilibrium, the homeostasis, which allows an ecosystem to function continuously and with every element within the system balancing one another. All of this is hinted to in the concept of the Aleph Beis, the concept of the alphabetical arrangement. And this takes us, in a moment, to Ashrei. The Meshech Chochmah here says something very interesting, that here in Bechukosai, the Meshech Chochmah says that these earthly blessings, these blessings of Geshem, V'nasad de Gishmechem Be'itam, He says that a person has to be able to appreciate the hand of God that is latent within nature. A person has to be able to recognize that what we perceive as nature is a seamless sequence of hidden miracles. And without mentioning the Aleph Beis that Rabbeinu Bechaya refers to, he understands in this way, this is how he interprets the somewhat perplexing statement in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Am Rav Yossi, hey, chelki mi gomrei ha-halel b'chol yom. Rav Yossi said, I would like to be among those who complete the halel every day. The Gemara asked, Aini, is that so? V'ha'amar mar ha-kore halel b'chol yom ha-reze mechareif u-megadeif. Whoever says halel daily is guilty of blasphemy. Ha-reze mechareif u-megadeif. So the Gemara answers, Ki kamim v'psukei dizimer. No, what I meant was, when I said halel ha-gadol, I was using it in a very general sense, that the chapters of Tehillim generally are a form of halel, reflect halel, and that's what I meant. I would like to be among those who say psukei dizimer every day, of course, as we do. But what about that statement, that someone who says halel b'chol yom harizim b'charei fu megadev? So Rashi there says that it means that halal is supposed to be said for special occasions. And if a person says it every day, then he devalues it. And by devaluing it, he means he's just saying it as a. It's like he's mocking it. He's saying something which is reserved for a special, notable occasion. He says it every day. He trivializes it. I tell you the truth, I've never been so satisfied with Rashi's pshat. The Meshech Chachma says that what it means is that a person, he says like this, Ha'omer halal ha-gado b'chol yom, Shemore sh'ra'ui lahodos rak lahanach pa'ulos shel derech neis. If he shows that in his opinion it's only worthwhile for a person to praise those examples of divine intervention, of the evidence of the divine hand in nature, only when it is exceptional. Only the miracles which are open miracles. Only the miracles which a person can sort of identify and recognize and point to, and everyone says, isn't that amazing? If a person has that attitude, so harizim echarifu megadeh, because he's denying the fact that miracles abound. He's denying the fact that the hand of God is evident, as I said, in Africa, and what I saw, so to speak, from that perspective, and opened my eyes. A person who fails to realize that, harezeh mecharef umegadef. And he contrasts that with the well-known statement of the Gemara in Brachos, that on the contrary, kol haomer tehillah ledavid b'chol yom, anyone who says tehillah ledavid daily, actually, the Gemara recommends it three times. Hareze ben olam haba. He is assured of his place in the world to come. Now, what the Gemara calls Tehillah LeDavid is what we colloquially call Ashrei. Because even though the chapter 145 in Tehillim begins with Tehillah LeDavid, but we customarily introduce it with the words Ashrei, Ashrei Yoshev Yosef, as is very well known. But he says that the difference between Halal HaGadol, which a person may not say daily, and Ashrei, which a person should say daily, is that Halal HaGadol is associated with extraordinary events. And a person who feels, well, in order to praise God, I've got to recall those supernatural, those miraculous interventions in order to be impressed. Otherwise, it doesn't impress me. That is wrong. But rather, a person should say Ashrei daily. What he doesn't explain, and what the Gemara mentions, but I'd like to try to explain it at a deeper level, is the significance of Ashrei. What's so wonderful about that chapter, Tehillah LeDavid, that we say three times daily? So, the Gemara has a discussion about it. And the Gemara says, well, the significance of Ashrei, this is what I do. The Gemara says, excuse me? Three times. At least twice the chakras. I do, anyway. I'm sure you do as well. Kol ha'omer tehillah ledavid b'chol yom shalosh pa'amim muftach lo shuv ben olam haba. My time, what's so special about it? What's the reason? So if you say, well, what's extraordinary about it, what's notable about it, is that it follows an alphabetical acrostic, which makes it easy to memorize, and the Gemara doesn't even say what's the significance of the alphabetical arrangement. But in any case, the Gemara asks, well, I could do better than that. The Gemara says, well, we got Ashrei Tmimei Derech, because that is Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes, famous chapter 119, which has the Aleph base times 8. So I've got a good reason why we like to say Ashrei rather than the Kuf Yud Tes, which you can probably think of as well. But probably the Gemara means to say Kuf Yud Tes instead of the whole Psuke Dizimra. It doesn't mean to say instead of Ashrei, but the whole Psuke Dizimra, instead of saying the whole Psuke Dizimra, we say, just say Kuf Yud Tes. But in any case, the Gemara says, well, no, Ashrei's got something which that one doesn't have. It has a Pasuk, Posechas Yadecha, which again, the Gemara doesn't explain what's so great about Posechas Yadecha. Then the Gemara says, well, you've got a similar idea, Nosin Lechem L'chol Basar, Kilo Olam Chasto, which is a very nice thing. You've got a similar idea. So the Gemara says, well, Ashrei has both. It has the alphabetical arrangement, and it has that wonderful, sublime verse, you open your hands and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Posecha Sedecha Omasviya B'chol Charetzom. This Gemara also, though it's very well known, is a bit obscure. What is the great significance of the Aleph base? And furthermore, what is the great meaning of that pasuk Posecha Sedecha Umasviya L'chol Charetzom? What makes it so special? So, I told you already my theory, which is hinted to in the Meshech Chachma, although he doesn't talk about, he doesn't elaborate upon it. But as we've seen from Rabbeinu Bachaya, that in B'chukosai Teilechu hints also to the Aleph base, hints from the Aleph Bistach. But the arrangement, the alphabetical arrangement, suggests an orderliness, suggests a design. It suggests that there is an underlying, the nature itself is an exquisite plan, an exquisite approach which maintains the balance within nature. As we said, this is the exquisite homeostasis of the ecosystem and the balance within the nature itself. So if the letters of the Aleph base allude to the creation of the world, then the alphabetical arrangement affirms our recognition that the hand of God underlies nature as we know it. This is why in the bracha of Yotzer Oru V'Rechoshech that we say every morning, we have an alphabetical arrangement there as well. We say, Kael Baruch Gadol Deya Hechinu Fa'al Zahari Chama, a sequence of 22 words which are written in an alphabetical arrangement. I'm sure you're aware of that, but perhaps you don't think, why is it here? It's here because that is the bracha of the creation, Yotzer Or Vorei Choshech, Ose Shalom. That is the bracha in which we describe, we ascribe to Hashem the creation of the world. Hamachadesh B'tuva B'chol Yom Tamid, who renews creation continuously. That's why we have the Aleph base there. We have on Shabbos, when we have a bit more time, what do we have instead? Kel Adon, which is exactly the same thing. It's the same idea, the alphabetical arrangement, but it's expanded somewhat. I will leave for your contemplation why it is that in Musaf we have the reverse alphabetical acrostic. Tikanta Shabbas Ritzisa Kavanat Seha. I'll leave that for your contemplation. Maybe if you have time at the end, we can still get back to it. So we have the notion, the weaving into the fabric of our tefillah, of our liturgy, the alphabetical arrangement which reminds us, hints to us, and keeps us conscious of the fact that the world as we know it has a divine plan which underlies it. But what is the significance of Posecha Sedecha? Why is it? The Gemara says, well, the reason we say Ashrei, and the reason that saying it somehow is a ticket to Olam Haba, is because it has that verse Posecha Sedecha. The Gemara doesn't explain it. The Mefarshim don't really elaborate upon it very much. I'd like to suggest my theory, which is, I don't think there's anything radical to it. And that is the following. Posechas Yadecha Umasbiya L'chol Chayratzon. Those few words actually embrace the totality of our reliance on Hashem. Posechas Yadecha refers to the way that Hashem provides for the physical or the economic or the biological needs of every creature. Poseches Yadecha, you know, opening your hand is a symbol for charity. Someone who is closed-fisted, tight-fisted, it's a way of saying he doesn't give anything to anyone, maybe not even to himself. Poseches Yadecha is an expression of generosity, but it refers specifically to the provision for a person's physical needs. Umasbia l'chol chai ratzon, and who satisfies the desire of every living creature, though, is much more subtle, but equally important. Because a person has not only physiological needs, but a person also has psychological needs, or spiritual needs, or emotional needs. If a person can have all of his physical needs met, but he is tormented emotionally or psychologically, that person will be very unhappy. And we all know, I'm sure, people who are in that circumstance, who, you know, are blessed with wealth and with the success and maybe even good health as well. But if their relationships are troubled, if their own sense of well-being is undermined, then such a person can be in terrible turmoil. Probably some of you here have visited Los Angeles, California. I'm sure everyone has heard of it. I visited there many times. My in-laws live there. I always love going there. They treat me very well. They only see me once in 2 years, so they can afford to. But it's wonderful when we fly into Los Angeles. The sun is always shining. You've got the gentle sea breezes. The weather is beguiling. You've got the wide boulevards, the fast cars, the beautiful people, excuse the expression, the lawns which are, you know, manicured by the Mexican gardeners, you know, cutting every blade of grass. And the people here, they must be so happy. They must be so contented. They must be so satisfied with life. And yet Los Angeles is probably the psychotherapeutic capital of the world. My father-in-law is a psychologist. My brother-in-law is a psychologist, you know. And the business is thriving over there, because the sense of unhappiness with all of the physical blessing and prosperity and comforts, but the sense of purposelessness, the sense of inner turmoil and the sense of desperation and depression is probably as rampant there as any place else, and probably even a lot more so. This is umasbia l'chol chai ratzon, the acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for both areas of those needs. Just to mention that similar idea in a different way, when I studied psychology many years ago, we looked at some research that was undertaken during times of war or times of crisis of children, young children perhaps, who were raised either in an orphanage or in a hospital or in some kind of environment where their physical needs were met. They had warmth and they had clothing and they had food and they had medical care, but because of the lack of manpower, the lack of human resources, they didn't have the attention or the affection or the love that a child needs. And lo aleinu, many of those children grew up with profound personality disorders. Not because of a deprived childhood in the physical sense, because they didn't have enough love. They were children who grew to have terrible troubles because they didn't have enough love when they were growing up. And this is something which exists not only in an orphanage, but can exist in other contexts as well. So, Poseches Yadecha Umasbia L'chol Chai Ratzon, and I'm sure you know that this is a pasuk a person has to say it with kavana. And if you happen to say Ashrei, as what a person is prone to do very rapidly, because we do know it so very well, maybe we know it too well. And if you say Poseches Yadecha and it just rolls off your lips and you don't think about it, you've got to say it again. The art school people have even drawn our attention to that, but I'm sure this learned group doesn't need art school to remind you. It's mentioned in Halacha Zayit that if you don't concentrate on it, you should say it again. Because that pasuk is the pasuk that the Gemara says that's why it's such a sublime kapitel tehillim. It's because of that pasuk. And this is my theory as to why. Because it embraces the two broad areas of our reliance upon Hashem and our acknowledgement of the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us. This is my approach to in praise of Ashrei. But I want to share with you, since we're talking about Ashrei, a thought I have about the other well-known feature of that chapter. The Gemara says it has Aleph Beis. As we know, it's an alphabetical acrostic. But the Gemara says, well, there is one letter which is missing in the sequence. The letter Nun is missing. So the Gemara asks, why is that? What happened to the letter Nun? Mipnei ma lo ne'emar Nun ba'ashrei. So the Gemara says, "Mnei sheyeshba mapalasan shel sone Yisrael." Zixiv nafla lo so sif kum besulas Yisrael. So David HaMelech, when he wrote that capital, he was reluctant to use the letter Nun. So we have Malchus HaMalchus Kol Alamim, and then we have Samech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim, but there's no letter Nun, why not? So the Gemara says, because he was concerned about the hint to Mapalasan Shel Yisrael, Sone Yisrael, which is a euphemism, meaning it could allude to the downfall. So he doesn't like the letter Nun, because the letter Nun reminds him of the word Nifila, and therefore it's hinted to in the next pasuk, Samech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim, that those who begin to fall, Hashem supports him, so they don't even fall. That's the pasuk that we have. That's the phrase that we say in Shemona Esrei. Sumech noflim, rofei cholim. Sumech noflim. That's where it comes from here. Sumech Hashem l'chol anoflim. Hashem supports them. But again, this also is very puzzling. Of all the letters and of all the words in the Hebrew language, surely the word nifila is not the worst. I mean, you've got other words. You've got chet. You've got avon, and even the letter nun. You've got worse words associated with the letter Nun. You've got just thinking about Nevela. You've got unpleasant associations. What's so wrong with one? Kina falti kamti state. Because I fell, I got up. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. Falling is not the worst thing. Everybody falls. On the contrary, sometimes a person can only achieve after he's fallen. Ein Adam Omin al Divatar Elin Kim Nichshal Behem Tchila. So the idea of the Nifila, it's hard to understand. Besides which, if you want to talk about, as I say, words which are problematic or letters which are associated, you could probably go through every letter of the Aleph-Base, and every letter of the Aleph-Base is probably associated with some word which is also unpleasant or a bit intimidating. So I've got a theory, which I haven't seen it in any of the classic sources. Could be it is written somewhere. If it's not written anywhere, maybe for good reason, maybe because it's nonsense, but I'll leave it for you to judge. There's a well-known medrash that David HaMelech lived 70 years. That's not a medrash, that's Mufurash. He lived 70 years, and the 70 years were bequeathed to him by Adam HaRishon. Because Adam HaRishon was destined originally, it would seem, to live forever. And then instead was destined to die on that day. Kibyom HaChal Chamos Tamuz. But the good news for Adam HaRishon is that one day, Kibyom HaChal Benecha, Ke'elef Shani Benecha, Kibyom Esmol Ki'avar. That for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 1,000 years. So Adam HaRishon actually was therefore intended to live no longer eternally. He's going to be mortal. He's going to die. He'll die after 1,000 years. How long did he live? 930 years. So the Medrash says that Adam HaRishon foresaw all the future generations, and he beheld a certain soul that was so sublime, that was so exalted, that was so noble, that it would hardly survive in this world. He saw a soul of David HaMelech that was going to come into this world, but was going to die immediately. So Adam HaRishon said, I bequeathed 70 years of my life to that soul. And therefore David HaMelech lived 70 years corresponding to the 70 years bequeathed to him by Adam HaRishon. According to that, and there's a reason for it, because Rabbeinu Bachai says, you know, I've got a terrible fondness for Rabbeinu Bachai. Every time I stand up here, I tell you about Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai says that Adam is Rosh Tevos Adam David Mashiach. That there is an association between Adam HaRishon, the first man, and Mashiach, who will be the one to restore the human drama, to bring it full circle, to restore it to its original pristine state. And David HaMelech, of course, represents the line of Mashiach. So Adam was a kind of David HaMelech is a Gilgal of Adam HaRishon, and of course he is the progenitor of Mashiach as well. So David HaMelech, therefore the soul of David HaMelech, was so sublime that it could only survive in this world as a gift from Adam HaRishon. That means that David HaMelech was destined originally to have been a Nephel. He was destined to have been stillborn, to have died on the day of his birth. It could be that for David HaMelech, the word Nephilah, the letter Nun, hinted to something which for him personally had very ominous associations. And therefore he was perhaps reluctant to use the word, the letter Nun, and instead he incorporated into the next pasuk, Sumech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim. Because for him personally, the letter Nun and the word Nefila, Nefel, had an association that was very poignant for him. This is, as I say, just a theory, but the Gemara does draw attention to the absence of the letter Nun and does suggest that it's because of Samech Hashem L'chol Hanoflim. So these are some thoughts in praise of Ashrei, because we do say it three times a day. B'chash B'chukos only comes once a year. But Ashrei we say every day, three times a day, so perhaps this will give us some food for thought and something to contemplate in the future when we say that particular sublime Kapitel Tehillim. Thank you very much.